to Proverbs chapter 12 tonight. You're going to need your Bible. You might even want a notepad. Now, in the pew right in front of you, behind the songbook, you will find a white piece of paper that says children's sermon notes. Those are for you as well. They don't have to be just for the kids. If you'd like to take sermon notes, or you, you can use your phone if you'd like, or whatever you use. But that's what they're for. It's for you to write notes on. Proverbs chapter 12. For those of you watching online, and those of you that are new to our church, every time I preach, Brother Phil puts a copy of the audio sermon and my outline on our website. It's free. Just go out there. Look, they're never going to find their way into a book. I don't really care. But I talk fast, and if you missed a Bible reference, you're like, what was he talking about? Where was that at? Just go out to the website, go to resources, audio sermons, click on the sermon you're interested in, and when it opens up, down low on the left, it'll say such and such PDF. The name of the sermon, like tonight, it'll be Why Live Right? PDF. And you hit that button and it'll bring you all the different Bible verses that we're dealing with tonight. Why live right? The whole book of Proverbs is wisdom. Every single verse is packed with wisdom. Wisdom is how to use knowledge correctly. That's what wisdom is. It's knowing how to take knowledge and use it correctly. And in Proverbs chapter 12, we have a contrast tonight between folly and the folly of sin and the blessing of wisdom and right living. And so I don't know if you care how your life turns out, but if you do, then God has something to say about it. God has something to say, and he said, if you'll follow me and you'll do what I tell you, I promise you're gonna be fulfilled. You're gonna love it. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Now, this is kind of hard. In an affluent society like the Washington, D.C. area, people, especially educated people, they want to discover. They don't want to be instructed. They don't want to be taught because that makes them feel childish. It makes them feel like, well, I've already been to school. I'm the one who's got the security clearance. And all that really is pride. If we'll be honest with each other, we're still learning every day of our life. We're being instructed if we'll let God do it, if we'll be open to it. The question is, are you open to instruction? I mean, if you already know everything you think you need to know, well, then good on you. Go ahead. Let me know how that works out. But the truth is, we're constantly learning, or we should be. How receptive are you is the question tonight. Why live right, preacher? Well, because if you live right, you're going to love knowledge. You're not going to be afraid of somebody introducing something you didn't know before from the Bible. And like I mentioned in this morning's sermon, there is so much more to God than you're currently experiencing. And if your pride's not in the way, you're going to like learning. You're going to like new things. Look at the contrast, though. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof. The word reproof means somebody proving to you that you were incorrect. But he that hateth reproof is brutish, animal-like, unreasonable. How well do you receive criticism? Or, well, let me change that word. How well do you receive correction? I mean, think about it. None of us like to be called into the principal's office. I get that. But if it'll help you, can a peer come alongside you and say, hey, you know what? If you do it this way, do you appreciate that or do you get irritated? See, the Bible says that those that get irritated when someone comes alongside you, you're acting like a mule. You're acting like a mule. You won't go in the way you're being led. One who will not receive correction is also referred to in the Bible as a scorner. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. They won't listen. They won't listen. You got anybody on the job like that? Have you met anybody like that that just won't listen, just won't take rebuke? Their life ends up a wreck. Why live right, preacher? Well, because you'll obtain favor of God. Look at verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Do you know what the definition of favor is? When you go back there in the nursery and a little 2-year-old walks up to you and goes like this, and your heart fills up with that feeling, that is the Bible definition of favor. When you look down at that little baby's face and just like, and you just want to pick him up, your heart swells with favor. So with that in mind, a good man, what makes him good? He's willing to be corrected. And that gives God that feeling in his heart. When you're willing to let God correct you, when you're willing to let God instruct you, his heart swells with that feeling of, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. God will bless the good man, but God will condemn the one who won't be corrected. See, because God doesn't mind that you're not perfect. He understands that. He's not expecting perfection from you. But if you won't be corrected, well, then he can't help you. Imagine the omnipotent, all-knowing God can't help you, not because he's not able, not because he doesn't know, but because we won't let him. Do you have a child like that at the house? Anybody? Do you know a child like that at somebody else's house? Because, of course, your children are perfect. But do you have a child? You know a child like that? It won't be. It's shocking sometimes. We had my oldest son would throw a fit and he'd drop himself on the concrete right there in the mall in front of everybody. And her and I would just step over him and keep walking. And then he'd run around in front and drop himself again. And we'd be like, we'd take a walk in. Why? Because nothing we did, fighting with him wasn't going to work. We needed him to feel it. Verse number 3 tells us that why live right? Because you'll not be moved. A man shall not be established by wickedness. Doing wrong isn't going to secure your life. But the root of righteousness, that which secures you, that keeps you upright, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. There is no stability or security in doing what's contrary to the Bible. In Proverbs 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Think about it. Do you want your life to fall over or do you want it to go straight? That you cannot do it in wickedness. It has to be in righteousness. Number 4, why live right? Because your marriage will be exalted. Look at verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The word virtuous has a sense of strong and industrious or efficient. That's true. But it also means a woman who's decided already that as I learn what right is, I'm going to do what's right. It's the same thing with a man, by the way. The Bible says to add to your faith virtue, then add knowledge. Why? Because virtue is that condition of the heart that says, when I figure out what right is, I'm going to do right because I want to do right and I know it pleases the Lord. I don't know everything, but as I learn what pleases God, I'm going to do that. That's virtue. And she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. See the contrast here? Look, I wrote a note to my sons in my Bible years and years ago on this verse. It said, my son, seek diligently and prayerfully for God's choice for you. It is the biggest decision you will make after salvation. The greatest life-altering decision you will make after you get saved is who you will marry. Think about it. Think about it. Number 5, why live right? Because you will end up desiring righteousness for others. Look at verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. You know, I don't know if you know this, but our thoughts determine our actions. Because all sin starts in our heart. You think all sin starts out there and then it affects you. No. It was in here long before it came out your hands and your feet. And when it comes to your children, understand they're little sinners because their parents are sinners. So you understand that, right? So when you say to yourself, well, why in the world did they do that? Because it was in their heart to do it. My kids were that way. They won't do anything it's not in their heart to do. And so when you think about it, what goes in their eyes and ears, yes, does affect the condition of their heart. That is true. But what's in their heart comes out their hands, their feet, and their mouth. And you know this because when you go on the job and somebody says something insulting to you and they're like, oh, I'm just playing. You know there's some, that's how they think. That's what's going on in their heart that wouldn't have come out their mouth. You understand? And so when you think about it, when you want what's right, why live right? Because you'll end up desiring not only more righteousness for yourself, you know, right living and the decision, the recompense or the results of right living, you're going to want it for other people as well. And so I wrote a note to my sons. My sons, guard your thought life. If it goes unchecked, it will go into your heart, and what's in your heart will come out your hands and your feet. As a man thinketh, so is he, the Bible says. That's why it says in Psalm 139 and verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God, show me what's in my heart that's going to cause me problems out yonder in the future. Put your finger on it, Lord. Show me. Are you too afraid to do that? See, every time you open your Bible, you're really looking God in the eye. Are you afraid of what God might bring up? Well, listen, I'm going to deal with it eventually, not before it ruins your relationships. In contrast, the advice of wicked men is often devious. Number six, why live right? Because you're able to deliver others from their own consequences and mistakes. Look at verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The concept of the wicked is found throughout Proverbs. Those that will do contrary to God's word on purpose every time. And the thought is, one who is hostile to God or living in sin, you know, they're the ones that lay traps for other people. They're treacherous. They want to see you fall. They don't like this. They don't like what you remind them of. Look, lost people know what Christians ought to act like. I don't know if you realize that or not. Lost people know how Christians ought to act. And the reason they want to see you not act like you should is so that they can feel better about their own sinful condition. Verse number 7, why live right? Because your house will stand. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. It means established. Sinful living, it's inherently unstable. You know why? Because you reap what you sow. You cannot sow your wild oats and then pray for crop failure. It's going to come back. Remember when Jesus said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand, but the wise man build his house on the rock? Part of that is deciding not just how you're going to live, but whose advice you're going to follow. Is it going to be the Lord's and his truth, or is it going to be what man thinks? Where are you going to build? And how are you going to build? And will it stand? Number 8, why live right? Well, because you'll be commended by the Lord. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Wise men are applauded, but shady operators are despised, the Bible teaches. Look at verse 9. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. He's talking about somebody who, even in verse 8, who's despised or corrupt, he's talking this time about somebody who isn't popular but yet has his stuff in order. Maybe even have humble circumstances. Verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. I use this verse to train my kids on taking care of the turtle, the fish, and the dog. How are you training your kids to take care of their animals? I would always use this verse, the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Have you fed that animal? Well, no, then he doesn't get to eat. Why is that? You got to eat. And they're like, oh, I got to go feed the animals. That's true. Verse number 11, why live right? You'll be satisfied with bread. Look at it. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Do you realize there are no quick get-rich schemes? You see them all the time, right? My news feed fills up with them all the time. I am making $20,000 a month, and I don't even have to leave my house. And I'm like, well, then why are you wasting your time on the internet? Why aren't you making 40 grand a month, you know? Oh, listen, we've got the plan for you. You can work at home and make $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000 a month using Audible through. Really? There are no get-rich-quick schemes. But someone who will put their hand to the plow and be diligent, they'll have bread. One of the things that we need to teach our kids is how to get up and go to work. You know, this generation or my generation always tried to emulate rock stars and entertainers and athletes. And I wrote a note to my sons many years ago in my Bible. It says, God will meet your needs if you'll work. The best place to pray for corn is at the end of a hoe handle. That's what my preacher used to say. Your life will yield fruit, verse 12 tells us, if you'll live right. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. A fruitful life doesn't always mean money. It means many different things. It means being full and content. It means having your needs met. It means being content with the Lord, not prosperous in His eyes. This is talking about stability in your life. Wicked men seek to profit through corrupt means, but the righteous men are stable and productive. How much better is that? To know the Lord's going to bless the works of your hands. Verse 13, living right brings you out of trouble. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Do you ever get into trouble? How do you get out of it? Do you try to blame it on somebody else? Do you try to hide the evidence? Do you try to paint yourself in the best light? Or do you just come clean? We all make mistakes. It's not so much the mistakes that define us as much as how we try to deal with it and how do we try to rectify it that defines us. Last time you messed up on the job, what did you do? Did you come clean and make it right? Did you try to hide it and hope the boss would never find it? Or did you just kind of let it go and see if who he'd blame? You see, that says as much about a person as the mistakes we made. Look at verse 14. You'll be satisfied. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. A fool is described in the previous verses as using their tongue in such a way that it's evil by hiding the wrong they do. But a man that'll do right, the recompense of his hand shall be rendered unto him. A wise man remarks and brings good deeds. A corrupt only finds trouble. Look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. Have you ever tried to explain to somebody why what they're doing is wrong? You ever do that? Do they listen? Sometimes. So when someone won't listen, what do? You step back and watch the fun ensue. You say, that's terrible. No, but a fool won't listen. Have you ever gotten into trouble or messed up something and went to your friends and went, why didn't you say something? And they go, I did. No, you didn't. Well, yes, I did. When? When this happened and when this happened. Well, that was different. No, that was me. Fine, help yourself. You ever do that? I do it all the time. Well, you do like you want. That's how my preacher would say, but here's what I'd do. And at that point, you stand back and watch the silliness ensue. Verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. How many use the word prudent in a sentence this week? The word prudent means you know how to behave. Your emotions are not out of control. You know what's appropriate at this moment. A fool's wrath, though, that's out of control. That's the opposite of meekness. A prudent man, one who's submitted to the Holy Spirit, and lets the Holy Spirit control his anger and his urges. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. Yeah, but what if the truth costs you? Seriously, have you ever asked or thought about that? What if telling the truth costs you? Will you still tell the truth? Truth is still truth, regardless of whether it costs you or not. Are you going to let it cost you? Are you going to do it? The problem is we have too many people who spin the truth and want you to believe a lie. A just man will tell the truth. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Let me ask you a question. How do you talk to people? Does it build them up or does it tear them down? when you talk to someone and you go to correct them, are you doing it because you caught them and now you can rub their face in it? Or are you doing it because you care and you want to help them? It matters what heart you use when you correct someone. Now, I admit, when you've got somebody at the work who loves to just show off and loves to talk about how great they are, and when they make a mistake, you know, you feel it like, oh, I'm just going to let him sit in it. But the wise person uses their tongue to build people, to help people. A fool uses it like a sword. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. The word edify means build. Do you build the people you work with, or do you take them down? Do you lift them up? Are they glad you showed up today? Or are they glad to hear you were on vacation? See, a righteous person, a person who lives right, they add value to the people around them. They make everyone better because they're there, not because they're better than everybody else, but they're there to assist. They're there to be a blessing. Everybody wins. No fool is out for themselves. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. Are you known as an honest person? Is your word something people rely on? But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Think about honesty and truthfulness. Truthfulness gets you future trust. Do you know how? Because you accurately reported past facts. When you accurately report what happened, you earn future trust. Even if you're the one who caused the mistake. The lip of the truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Honesty protects us. It prepares us, and it preserves us. Look at verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Those that scheme and have plans, they're deceitful. You can't trust them. But those that are counselors of peace, they find joy. Look at verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. The Bible says righteousness tendeth to life. That when you live right, you are sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing and will reap the good. Verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. You realize Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. And we are never more like him than when we lie. And God says, if you'll look at Proverbs 6, somebody asked me about this week. In Proverbs 6:16, did you know there's things God hates? But I thought he was a God of love. Look in Proverbs 6 and verse 16, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, and a lying tongue. Lying, God hates lying. Back in Proverbs 12 and verse 22, it says that that dealing truly are his delight. That faithfulness and faithfully telling the truth is something that delights the heart of God. I wrote a note to my kids. I said it's easier in the long run to tell the truth than it is to fix it when you lie. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. A prudent man keeps his mouth shut, but a fool blabs everything he thinks he knows. My preacher used to say, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and dispel all doubt. It's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and dispel all doubt. The virtue of wisdom is to be discreet. Besides, are your words really worth hearing? Seriously, are your words based on God's words? Are they true because you're speaking God's truth? Look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. That word diligent means steady in application, constant in effort. That means they stay at it, even if they're not the fastest. They stay at it till it's done. The wise may not be the first one to win the race, but they are eventually the one that will lead in the end. Are you known by the people you work with as somebody who will actually finish the job? You may not be the fastest, but you are the one they're sure it will get done. That's diligent. Verse 25, heaviness is in the heart of a man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You can tell when people have carrying a burden, can't you? When you show up at work, I mean, you're not that oblivious, right? You know these people, you work with them, and you can tell when their heart is heavy. At that point, what do? Do you avoid people? Or do you try to encourage them? They're having a bad day. Are you the one they're glad to see? Some people are a battery. Some people are charge you up, but other people drain you. And the question is, what do? Everyone you know carries a burden. Every one of you that you know is struggling in some way. Are you making their load lighter by the things you say and the way you interact with them? Or are you making it heavier? Verse 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. More excellent literally means that they have outstanding qualities. It's not that they're perfect. It just means they want what's best. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. But the way of the wicked seduceth. That means tries to lead others astray. One is wise, the other one is stupid. What is your example like? I mean, seriously. You speak even louder by the things you do than the things you say. What is your example at work? What is your example at home? Many of you have children downstairs. What is it like at your house? You realize the kids will not become what you say, they become what you are. Many of you have the same habits as your parents, Ben. You're thinking to yourself, oh man, I'm 30-some years old and I've lived outside my parents' house, but I turned into my dad. No, it's we become what they were, and we build on it. What are your kids going to become? Are you leading with the right example? Are you walking with God? Can they see God? Do they hear God through you? Do they experience his love and his patience and his mercy, his forgiveness, his kindness, his gentleness? Or is he a God of wrath to your kids because of the way you carry yourself? Verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. A slothful man has nothing to eat because he's too lazy. Too lazy to go get it, too lazy to do anything with it. How many do without because of laziness and an undisciplined life? But the substance of a diligent man is precious. Remember, the word diligent doesn't mean they're exceptional. It just means they don't quit. They'll work and they'll work and they'll until they earn a living. You're going to receive life rather than death, the Bible says in verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So, preacher, why live right? Why bother? I mean, when it's so much easier to do wrong, when it's so much easier to be selfish and self-centered. Do you know people like that? That you just don't even want to be around them because nothing else matters but them. You don't know anybody like that? Maybe you've never worked where I've worked. Where people just want what they want and they want it right now and they don't care what it does to anybody else. Are you like that? See, why live right? Well, because you're going to enjoy receiving knowledge if you live right. Because it's not going to be offensive to your pride because you want to learn. You'll obtain favor, verse 2 tells us. Favor. That God will not only, God will look down upon you. He'll give you more favor, yes, but he'll, because you're willing to be corrected, God looks upon you with favor. Verse 3, you'll be unmovable. Your life's not going to be easily blown over. And your marriage will be exalted. The virtuous woman is a crown to us. Why? Because you're willing to go and do what is right rather than be selfish all the time. You realize two selfish people can't be married for very long. It doesn't work. It's not 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%, regardless of what the other person does. Number 5, you will desire righteousness more and more. As you start to see what righteousness does in your life and the decisions you made that were along the lines of God's word, you see God blessing it, you see God taking it and using it for his glory, you're going to want more of it. You're going to want more. If he'll do that for what little things I've done that were right, what would he do if I really just committed myself to doing what's right? You're able to lead others toward what's right if you'll do it. We're going to study the book of Hosea soon. And what's crazy is Hosea is going to have to live the example before he can preach it. And he will live the burden, the shame, and the hurt, and the disgust of his peers. And then he'll be able to preach it. And so often we think to ourselves, well, if you just be smarter, if you just read another book, if you just follow so-and-so on and listen to his podcast. No. The person to follow is the Lord. You'll be able to deliver others. Your house will stand. You will be commended of the Lord. You'll be satisfied with bread, verse 11. And you'll be fruitful, verse 12. You'll find yourself being brought out of trouble rather than stuck in it. And you'll be satisfied with your needs met, verse 14 says. Why live right? Because God promised that what you sow, you will also reap. If for no other reason than that, you remember, you reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. And you reap more. So why live right? Because God may not pay every Friday, but he does pay, and he does pay in full. Think about it. Those are the promises we have of God. And when Solomon wrote Proverbs, he was trying to reason with his son. He was trying to reason with him. Can't you see that if you do things God's way, this is how it's going to come out? But if you go contrary to God's way, why are you shocked? That's what I say to people. Why are you shocked? So you know what the Bible says? Uh-huh. You know what he said he'd do to you if you don't follow him? Uh-huh. But you chose to go your own way anyway. Uh-huh. Okay, then, I guess we're done. You say, that's harsh, that's mean. No. It's the truth. Because a fool is right. A fool is right in his own eyes, meaning he can't be reasoned with until he feels it. You're going to have to decide, is right living worth it? Yes. But it may not pay off tomorrow, but it will pay off because God promises it will. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Solomon covered many things tonight, from what you say to what you do to what you value to whom you listen to whom you follow, to whom you pattern yourself after, to whether or not you're adding value, or whether or not you're being selfish and just taking away from everyone else. God has laid out the promises of what he'll do, the favor he will show you if you do right. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, just a simple teaching from your word. Father, how we can see in living examples in our life, even in our own personal life, where we've walked with you or we've strayed, the results we received, or the benefits. Father, help us tonight to first desire you in your truth. And tonight that you would speak to each heart. Tonight, Father, maybe you put your finger on something in our hearts. Father, let us talk to you about it. If there's one among us who's lost, may they be saved. And Father, tonight, as we take a moment to pray, we ask God you'd search us. And try us, know our hearts, show us if there's any wicked way in us, and then lead us to the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar's open. Won't you take a moment and pray tonight? Whatever the Lord has brought up to your mind tonight, won't you talk to the Lord about it?
Broken with sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and I'm thankful for your word. And Father, there is clear benefits to obedience and respectfulness. And Father, we pray tonight that you would lead us and guide us in that way, that others, Father, will follow the example as we have followed people ahead of us, God, that you would help us to be that example to others, that our words would lift and build and encourage, that our choices would be something that would prove to the world that you are real. And God, through it all, really, it's your life living through us. We ask that you would do that. There's so many benefits to living right according to your word. Let us embrace it and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.